night snack like you would. I'm watching Blanche tonight because she reminds me of you. Full of sass and spunk. But she won't ever be as pretty as you, so don't go getting jealous. The girls weren't as hateful to each other tonight. It's like pulling hens' teeth to get them to be civil. But I think we're making progress.
He pushed a button on the remote and chuckled at Dorothy and Sophia's argument.
Kids and their mamas. I wonder what it was that set Retha off after that summer. I bet Hopper went home and told her that she'd rather live with you. You don't think so?
He patted the arm of the chair.
It's not all water under the bridge to my mind. Hopper and Wyatt are talking to each other. I think they got a little chemistry back up between them. They'd make a good pair, don't you think? I know, I know. I shouldn't put the cart before the horse. But they would, and you know it. I wish you were sitting in this chair for real. God, I miss you so much.
He turned down the volume and looked up at the ceiling.
I hear you loud and clear. I promise I won't interfere. Well, not too much anyway. Sometimes folks need a little push. But I'll go at it easy like I promise. But I got to admit that it's good to have them all home again where they belong. Poor little things. One who never had any support from a daddy, and the other two with a raw deal on their mama. But I'll fix it, so you can rest easy, Annie, I promise.
At 9:30, he got up out of his chair, groaned as he straightened his back, and got the pie from the little dorm-sized refrigerator. Though he'd never have called it that.
A bite for me, and one for you,
he said as he went back to the recliner. At exactly 10 o'clock, he went to the bathroom, had a shower, and then curled up in the bed on his side, hugging a pillow to his chest.
Good night, Annie. Don't get too far from them gates now, girl. I'll be on up there in a little while, and I want yours to be the first face I see when I get there. It's gonna be just downright glorious to be in a place where my skin isn't black and yours ain't white. We'll be the same.
His thoughts went to the time when he and Annie and Seamus were just little kids, taking their fishing poles to the river. Seamus's folks had a cotton farm in those days. Annie's mama and daddy ran a little grocery store. Zed's daddy was a handyman around the area, and his mama was the cook at the school. Then the area got dug out and flooded for the lake, and Annie's daddy hired Zed's daddy and mama both to work for him full-time. Looking back, he knew that he'd fallen in love with Joanna, or Annie, as everyone already called her, when they were too young to even go to school. But in those days, a man of color could get himself strung up for even looking at a blonde girl like Annie. So they'd all played together, and when they graduated from high school, she'd married Seamus, and Zed had gone straight into the army. Seamus Clancy was his friend right up until the day he died. Zed missed him like a limb. But Zedekiah Williamson had never stopped loving Annie. Chapter 8. The phone rang 5 times, quit, and then rang 5 more before Zed finally grabbed it from the wall and grumpily said,
"Hello."
"Hello, Zed. This is Mrs. Johnson from the Frankston School. Could I speak to Dana, please?"
"She's busy in the store. What can I help you with? Need reservations for Sunday?"
Zed asked. "No, sir. I need to speak to Dana about Brooke," she answered.
"Is she sick?"
"I just need to talk to her mother, please," Mrs. Johnson said.
"Is she alive?"
"Yes, she is."
"We'll be there in 10 minutes.
Zed hung up and called Flora in the laundry room.
"Go to the store and tell Dana to meet me out front of it in 2 minutes. We've got to go to the school, so I need you to mind the store while we're gone."
"Will do," Flora said.
Dana was standing in front of the store when he arrived. The expression on her face said that she was every bit as worried as he was. He'd promised Annie that he'd take care of the sisters as long as he could. That meant every one of them.
"What's happening? Is Brooke all right? Is she hurt? What kind of trouble is she in? She's never been in trouble at school before in her life,"
Dana said as she crawled into his 20-year-old truck.
"Mrs. Johnson wouldn't tell me, but I didn't want you to go alone,"
he said. "Thanks," Dana whispered. He made it in 8 minutes, and would have arrived there sooner if he hadn't gotten behind a pokey old woman who didn't have any place to go in a year to get there. He was grumbling and praying both as he parked his truck. Zed beat Danish at the door and practically jogged down the hallway to the office. Didn't even knock on the principal's door, but barged right in and heaved a sigh of relief when he saw Brooke sitting in a chair without a mark on her. He put his hands on the desk and looked Mrs. Johnson right in the eye.
What is this all about?
Dana stopped and laid an arm around her daughter's shoulders.
What's going on, Brooke?
I do not use, buy, or sell drugs, Brooke said with a stiff upper lip. But no one will believe me because I'm the new girl and they don't know me.
Zed whipped around and nodded seriously.
I believe you, child.
Then, just as quick, he was staring down the principal.
Now you best tell me what happened.
Brooke came to us with exemplary records, but when the drug dogs came in for a random check today, they hit on her purse and we found marijuana in it, the principal said. There must be a mistake, Dana gasped.
Zed backed up and sat in the chair next to Brooke.
Want to tell me where you got it?
It's not mine, she said, reddening to her hair part. I don't do drugs. Mama would ground me until I was 50 if she caught me with any kind of drug, even marijuana.
Then how did it get in your purse? Dana asked. You've got to know that, and probably who put it there.
Brooke shrugged. Zed turned back to the principal.
How much did she have?
A bag full, enough to get her expelled from school and likely put in jail.
Zed laid a hand on her shoulder.
Who are you protecting?
I'm not a rat, she said.
Well then, I guess you'd better expel her from school and we'll take her on home. Her mama and aunts can homeschool her. Smart as she is, I expect that she can get her work done in a couple of hours every evening and work through the daytime in the laundry with Flora. We can use the help.
Zed's hand dropped into his lap.
No!
Brooke squealed.
Brooke, Clancy, you had better start telling me right now what you know.
Dana's tone didn't leave a bit of wiggle room.
This can ruin your chances for college. It will be a mark on your record for the rest of your life. Start talking!
There were several awkward moments during which Brooke was no doubt weighing the pros and cons. On one hand, she would be cut off from the social aspect of school. On the other, she wouldn't have to be branded a drug dealer. Finally, she raised her head.
I'm barely fitting in here, and if anyone finds out that I ratted them out, then...
Do what's right, child,
Zed said.
Okay, she sighed. My purse was sitting beside my desk, and it was open. Someone in the class saw some dogs coming into the school with policemen and pointed out the window.
And? Dana asked.
And there was a rustling behind me, and the next thing I knew, the dog stopped in my purse. That bag had come from the back of the room and was passed up, probably from Ryson, but I can't prove it. I promise that's all I know, Brooke said. I'm the new kid. They'll hate me if they think I told on someone, but I truly did not see who had it first. I promise, Mama, I've never even seen marijuana. I didn't know what it was when they took it out of my purse.
Is she expelled, Mrs. Johnson?
Dana asked.
School policy says that she is, but I believe she is telling the truth because I'm pretty sure I know who's responsible for this, so I'm going to send her home for the rest of the day, she answered. And can she make up whatever work she misses?
Dana asked.
No, but there's only one more class today, and then we're having an assembly.
And what are you going to do about it if the kids stop bullying her because they think she's really a drug dealer?
Zed asked.
Believe me, they all know who that bag belonged to. If they bully her, I'll take care of it. If you know who is responsible for this, why isn't he or she in this room?
Dana asked.
Because I can't catch him red-handed with the drugs. When I do, I'm putting him into the in-school suspension program for a long, long time, she answered.
Why don't you fingerprint that bag of marijuana?
Zed asked.
The police have assured me that they will do that, but think about how many hands it had to pass through on the way to her purse. By tomorrow morning, we'll have a definite answer, or at least no sign of her fingerprints, and there will be no problem with Brooke coming back to school.
Zed was proud of the girl. She'd stood up for herself like Annie had done so many times when she was that age. Dana met the principal's gaze.
And tomorrow, when she comes back to school,
I want the word in the halls to be that those drugs did not belong to her.
It will be, Mrs. Johnson said. And Brooke, I know you don't want to be a snitch, but it might help if you'd...
Zed rose up and gave the principal a quick nod.
She's told you what she knows, and the rest is your job, not hers.
Then he turned to Brooke and Dana.
You ladies ready to go home?
Yes, I am.
Brooke stood and wrapped her arms around Dana.
Mama, they aren't going to find my prints on that bag. I promised you a long time ago that I'd never do drugs. We don't keep secrets from each other.
Dana hugged her tightly. I know that, and I trust you. Zed marched out to his truck, laid his head on the steering wheel, and let out a long whoosh of breath. Yes, sir, Brooke was going to be all right. He didn't have to worry about her, but the three sisters, they still needed a lot of work.
Annie, I was really worried. My heart was pumping so hard I thought I might be coming to see you sooner than we ever expected. But she's okay. She ain't hurt and I'm right proud of her.
He started the engine and pulled around to the door where Dana and Brooke would be coming out of the school.
Raising kids ain't for us old folks, Annie. But I gave you my word that I'd make things right for them if you went first. I didn't know that a bag of pot was going to be the first big hurdle.
Is something wrong with our truck, Mama?
Brooke slung open the door and slid across the bench seat to the middle to sit between her mother and Zed.
No, Uncle Zed took the call in the kitchen and...
Dana slammed the door shut and glanced over at him. He pulled around the rows of vehicles and back out onto the road.
I knew you'd be nervous and worrying about what was going on, so I didn't want you to drive.
Thank you for that, Uncle Zed, but I've been taking care of myself and Brooke for years with no help, Dana said.
Yep, you have. But you don't have to anymore. I'm here and you got your two sisters who come through in a pinch,
he told her.
I might trust you to be there for me and Brooke, but my two sisters, not so much, she chuckled. Now, Annie Brooke Clancy, who put that bag of pot in your purse?
Brooke stiffened her spine and stared out the windshield without blinking.
I know it was Rice and Taylor. I've seen him during the noon hour giving kids something and they hand him money. He sits about six seats behind me. But, Mama, I didn't want to say anything, because Cassidy is right in front of him, and she thinks he's cute. She's the only friend I got so far.
That means her fingerprints will be on that bag, too. I imagine Flora is going to be really upset, Dana said. What if that kid blames it all on her?
You think they won't go back and look at the seating chart and see who all was close enough to drop it in your purse?
Zed asked. Brooke threw her head back dramatically.
I work with Flora, and I really like her and Cassidy. They are going to hate me.
No, they are not, Dana said emphatically. If this happened to Cassidy, we wouldn't hate Flora for it or Cassidy either. But if she's doing drugs, you better tell me.
She's not, but she likes him a lot. I bet she'll protect him, Brooke said.
Zed crossed the bridge and made the turn back to the resort.
Crazy what love will make a person do. Whether it's the old folks or the youngins, he muttered.
What was that? Dana asked.
Just mumbling to myself.
Zed parked at the back of the cafe.
Y'all might as well come on in and get a glass of tea or a soda pop.
Sounds good to me. Got any of that gingerbread you were making for lunch?
Brooke asked.
Little bit,
Zed said.
And kiddo, I'm real glad that you ain't hurt or sick.
Me too, Uncle Zed.
She gave him a quick hug as the three of them entered the cafe by the kitchen door.
Are you okay? Did someone hurt you? Do I need to go to the school and whip someone's ass?
Harper started the minute they were inside.
I've been worried out of my mind. Talk to me.
I'm fine. Someone put a bag of marijuana in my purse and I'm expelled until tomorrow morning,
Brooke said as if that happened every day.
What little bastard did it?
Tawny peeked through the serving window.
I'll go up there and take care of him or her. I'm not really sure, but he'll get caught eventually. Thanks, Aunt Harper and Aunt Tawny, for worrying about me.
She grinned.
Now, let's have some of Uncle Zed's gingerbread with lemon sauce.
Tawny giggled.
It's not funny, Dana said.
No, it's not. But I smarted off to my mother the other day about going to school to score some marijuana. Looks like I was right,
Tawny said. Harper's hand flew up to her heart.
I can't believe you said that to her.
Tawny's shoulders popped up in a dramatic shrug.
Did you think it was all rainbows and unicorn farts after you left? The only thing that changed was that I got all the bitchin' instead of sharing it with you.
Zed stuck a bowl of lemon sauce in the microwave and set half a pan of gingerbread on the table.
Life is what you make it, girls. The past is all over and done with. What you got is the present, because tomorrow might never get here. Annie told me that a lot when I got to fretting about things, so we worked hard at making today a good one.
That's a good sermon, Dana said. Brooke and I'd better take our gingerbread to go, since Flora will need to get back to her regular job.
15 minutes more ain't gonna make a difference,
Zed said when the microwave bell dinged.
Y'all sit down and have a snack, and then we'll all go back to work.
Will you sit with us?
Brooke asked. A grin spread across his face.
No, honey. I'm gonna use my 15 minutes to go outside and smoke a cigarette. You bring that pan of gingerbread to a table, hopper, and I'll get the sauce. Y'all will be more comfortable out there in the dining room.
Dana didn't realize that her heart was still pounding or that there was a knot the size of a grapefruit in her stomach until she sat down at the table. But she'd learned to handle fear by putting on a hard shell. Then, when the situation was over, she fell apart in private.
So do you know who did this thing? Harper asked Brooke.
Got a pretty good idea, she answered.
What are you going to do about it? Tawny asked.
Keep my purse zipped up from now on, Harper chuckled.
And your backpack, right?
Yep. And if I'm right about who that weed belonged to, you'd better stay away from me. I don't like being a scapegoat.
She finished off her snack and carried her plate to the kitchen.
I'm going to the house and get into my work jeans. Flora will probably need some help since she'll be behind and I'm the cause of it.
When the back door slammed, Harper glanced over at Dana.
You've got a really good kid there.
Yes, I do. Dana's voice cracked.
God, I was worried. Especially when Uncle Zed went with me. I thought she'd died and they just weren't telling me.
Tawny laid a hand on her shoulder and squeezed gently.
We all worry, too. I came out here to get a glass of tea and Harper was pacing.
Was not. I was sweeping, Harper said. I'd spilled coffee on my shirt, so I went to change it. When I got back, Uncle Zed was gone. When I called the store to see if he was there, Flora told me there was a problem at school. But anyway, Brooke can take care of herself, and if she's not quite big enough, she's got two aunts, a mama, and an Uncle Zed who'll help her out.
Dana pushed back the uneaten square of gingerbread and laid her head on the table.
Thank you. I just need a minute to unwind. Need a shot of whiskey?
Harper asked.
Or beer?
Tawny patted her on the back. Dana raised her head.
Thank you both. I'll be fine. I can keep my cool in the middle of a crisis, but when it's over, well, that's a different story.
Me too, Harper whispered.
Not me,
Tawny went back to eating.
I fall apart right then. My nose runs and I cry like a baby. I'm not tough like y'all are.
Bullshit,
Harper said.
I've seen your tough side.
Tawny carried her plate to the kitchen and returned with three glasses and a pitcher of tea.
I used to be tough when I had you around to back me up, but after you left, everything went to hell. Mother and Daddy started fighting more and more, and everything was my fault. Then Daddy died, and she never wanted kids anyway, and how dare he leave her with a teenage daughter? Her words, not mine. Believe me, she could break steel down into a puddle of liquid. I was so glad to go to college that I didn't even go home that first year, not even for Christmas.
Dana whistled through her teeth.
Well, my mother is a piece of work, but she didn't go that far. I never one time felt unloved or unwanted. She told me that she'd made a mistake, but that I was a blessing from that and not a burden. She didn't even fuss at me when I got married without telling her. Of course, we know how that ended. We've all got parent baggage, Harper said.
Yes, you do, but you don't have to carry it,
Zed said as he entered the cafe.
It's your choice whether you have a funeral for that baggage or strap it to your shoulders.
Good advice, but a hard thing to get done, Tawny said. I'm going back to my cabin. If anyone needs me, just holler. And Uncle Zed, I would have taken care of the store if you'd called me.
I know that now, but me and Flora, we've been doing it alone so long I clean forgot. Next time I'll remember that we've got more help now,
he said.
Good, Harper said. I see a couple of cars pulling into the lot. We've got some customers, Uncle Zed.
Time to get to work. I like it when we're busy. Makes the day go by faster,
Zed said.
We'll get on to the store. Flora can go back to her jobs.
Dana picked up the plate with the gingerbread and carried it with her. I can't bear to see this wasted, so I'm taking it with me. A blast of lemony cleaner met Dana when she entered the store. Flora, who could put the fear of God into a speck of dust, looked up from the back of the store where she was wiping down the baseboards.
Perfect timing. I ain't had the time to give this store a good going over in a few weeks, she said as she carried a bucket of soapy water and her rag to the bathroom. Brooke came through a few minutes ago and gave me the story. That damn boy has been trouble since the day he was born. His mama grows weed out in the woods behind their house and he sells it. I hope they put her in jail with him. Any of that gingerbread left?
She eyed the plate as she crossed the floor.
I could sure use a pick-me-up now.
There's still a third of a pan in the kitchen. It smells and looks great in here, Flora, thank you. It was on the tip of Dana's tongue to spit out that Cassidy had a crush on the drug boy, but she clamped her mouth shut.
See you later, then.
The bell above the door rang as she left. Dana got her phone from her purse and hit speed dial for her mother before she remembered there was no service in the area. She tossed it back into her purse and hiked a hip on the bar stool behind the cash register. It took her a few minutes to remember her mother's number after she picked up the landline phone. She waited for 5 long rings before Lacey picked up.
Hey, kid, what's going on in the boondocks?
Lacey giggled. Your granddaughter got in trouble at school today, Dana said and went on to tell her the whole story.
And how are you?
Lacey's tone had gone from happy to serious. Why do you ask that? Dana could not mask her anger at anyone thinking Brooke would have drugs in her purse.
Brooke is a tough kid. She'll get things straightened out. But as a mother, you will worry about how this will affect her. You'll be second-guessing yourself about whether you did the right thing by moving there. Don't. Simply don't. You are an amazing mother. Much more so than I ever was. You got that from Annie. Brooke is going to hit rough spots growing up, we all do, so just trust her like I trusted you and everything will work out in the end,
Lacey said. Thanks, Mama. You always make me feel better, Dana said.
You can always still come and live with me,
Lacey told her.
We'd kill each other after the first 6 weeks,
Dana chuckled.
Probably so, but the first few days would be great. Gotta go now, kiddo. I've got an appointment to get my nails done. Did those two princess sisters take up for Brooke?
Yes, believe me, they are very protective of their niece, Dana answered.
Well, imagine that,
Lacey said before the line went dead. Dana returned the receiver to the base. It is a bit of a miracle.
Hey!
Marcus Green pushed into the store.
I thought I'd stop by and see how you are after the fiasco at school today. I also want to assure you that all of us teachers know exactly who is to blame for what happened today. It's not your daughter.
Thanks, Marcus. Dana nodded. Cup of coffee? It's on the house.
Isn't school still in session?
We had an assembly and I wasn't required to be there,
he explained as he added cream and 2 packages of sugar to the cup of steaming hot coffee.
I wanted to talk to you. I hated to hear what happened.
That's sweet, Dana said. Want a chunk of gingerbread to go with that?
Love it, especially if it's Zed's. I can't get up here on Wednesdays for lunch during the school year. That's the only day he makes it.
Dana dragged an old chair from behind the deli counter so that he could sit across the counter from her, and then she propped a hip on the bar stool. Place hasn't changed, and neither has Uncle Zed. The menu pretty much stays the same.
Which is a good thing. We all know the burgers are the best in the whole state. How about you, Dana?
Marcus asked. I have a 14-year-old daughter, so I guess the answer is yes, I've changed.
But you both still go by Clancy,
Marcus said. Yes, we do. It's a long story, but I'm not married, Dana said. And you? Have you changed, Marcus? Still living right around here?
Hell yes. I'm not half as smart as I was in junior high school or even high school.
He flashed a brilliant smile.
I hope you noticed that I'm a responsible adult now and not a pot-smoking wannabe rock star. I still live with my mother. She doesn't like being alone, and we get along really well, so it's not a problem.
He took a sip of the coffee and changed the subject.
I'd sure like to ask you to dinner sometime. Think you might say yes.
Never know until you ask. He seemed like a good person, and she didn't want to hurt his feelings, but there wasn't a single bit of spark between them. She hoped that he didn't ask.
Hey, Dana, I'm here for 2 dozen minnows. I hear the bass are biting today,
an old guy with gray hair and a big straw hat said as he entered the store.
Good God, has Flora been in here with that cleaning crap? I like this place better when it smells like minnows. Howdy, Marcus. Didn't know you was a fisherman.
Just dropped in for a cup of coffee, Marcus answered. How are you, Billy Tom?
Arthritis is acting up, but it won't hurt no worse if I'm fishing. And besides, the wife ain't fussing at me if I'm out on the lake.
Billy Tom laughed.
You got that right.
Marcus nodded on his way out.
That's a good boy there,
Billy Tom said.
Now about them minnows. Maybe you better give me 3 dozen.
Zed sat in Annie's chair that evening.
I want to catch a whiff of your perfume long as it lingers here. I hope it never leaves. I got a story to tell you this evening.
He went on to tell her all about the school incident.
I'll tell you one thing, Annie. They might fuss and fight among themselves. Oh, they think I don't see it or know about it, but I do. They try to cover it up when I'm close by so as not to make me sad. But I can tell by their body language if they've been at it again. Makes me want to put them on timeout chairs like you did when they was little. But today, they all stood together when it came to Brooke and the other night.
He went on to tell the story that one of the regulars at the cafe shared with him 2 days after Harper's Bar incident.
We both know that I've lived a lot of years longer than any of them, and I have my ways of finding out things.
He moved over to his chair.
So I see some progress in them getting along, Annie, and that's my good news. Good night, darling Annie.
Chapter 9. March 30th. The day had arrived. According to the miniature calendar stuck to the front of the mini-fridge in Harper's cabin that morning, of all the days in the whole year, this was the one that always, always put a big black cloud over her head, a rock in her chest, and tears in her eyes. The weeping would begin that evening at exactly 8:30. Until then, she'd just deal with the blackness of the whole day. She dressed in a blue t-shirt and jeans and was sitting on the bench when Zed arrived to open up the cafe.
Looks like it's gonna be a beautiful day. I need to get a key made so you don't have to wait on me in the mornings,
he said.
What time is Wyatt picking you up tonight?
Crap, she muttered under her breath. She hadn't even looked at a calendar when she said she'd go out with him. No way could she do it, especially not with him. This was the day that she normally didn't go to work. This was the day when she usually drank herself into a stupor to forget.
What was that? My hearing is getting bad these days.
Zed flipped on the lights and adjusted the thermostat.
I'll get the coffee going. Go be sure the salt shakers and napkin dispensers are filled up for the day.
The phone rang and Harper grabbed it. Lakeside Resort, this is Harper Clancy.
Great. I was hoping you might answer,
Wyatt said. I've got to, she started.
I've got bad news,
he said at the same time. They both stopped for a long, silent moment and finally he said,
You go first.
No, you, she said.
I was coming to the lake with 4 clients for a weekend fishing trip. Buddies of mine now. But one of them had a heart attack about an hour ago. I'll call later and cancel our reservations, but I'm going to have to cancel our date tonight. I'm so, so sorry.
His deep drawl seemed sincere.
Now you.
It wasn't a date. You didn't even have to call. You just stay with your friend and I'll take a rain check, she said.
Thank you. If I can get away later this evening, I'll call you,
he said. Don't worry if you can't, she said, already planning to unplug the phone in her cabin as soon as she got home that evening.
Bye then.
Bye, Wyatt. Zed finished making coffee and glanced over his bony shoulder.
No date tonight.
It wasn't a date to begin with. He was just going to come by and visit on the porch for a while, and we lost the rent on 3 cabins. His friend has had a heart attack, she said flatly.
I'm sorry,
Zed said. About the heart attack or the fact that we lost rent?
Both, but mostly because I think you wanted to see him this evening,
he answered. I've gotten over worse in my life, she answered. But I bet that some of your good strong coffee will help everything.
Always does,
Zed nodded. It was ham day at the cafe, and every chair was filled by 12 o'clock. Harper spun, taking orders and refilling glasses. And then a man and wife arrived with 3 little daughters, blondes, spread out from a year old to somewhere around 9. Harper stopped halfway across the floor and turned around so fast that the room did a couple of hard spins. She made it to the kitchen before she slid down on the linoleum, wrapped her hands around her knees, and began to sob. Zed stopped what he was doing and sat down beside her, drew her into his arms, and let her soak his shirt with her tears.
"What is it, child?"
"Little girls," she sobbed.
"Did they remind you of when your sisters were little?"
She shook her head.
"No, they're..."
And the sobbing started again.
"I need a drink."
"You need to let go of this burden, child. Talk to me."
"I gave her away, and those little girls remind me of how she'd look," she answered in short bursts of words.
"Gave who away?"
Zed asked.
"My baby daughter. I was only 16, and I couldn't raise her, and Mother was mortified about what her friends would think. She and Daddy wouldn't help me."
She clung to Zed as if he were a lifeline in a Category 5 tornado.
"So that's what happened that summer that changed everything."
Zed patted her back.
"Why didn't you call your granny?"
"Mama said that Granny'd hate me, and I loved her too much to have her disappointed in me. Oh, Uncle Zed, today she's 9 years old."
She clamped a hand over her mouth.
"I've never told anyone."
"Your secret is safe with me, child."
Tears dripped off Zed's chin and joined hers on the front of his shirt.
"I'm so sorry that your mother made you believe that about me and Annie. We would have taken you right in here to live with us."
"I was 16, scared and angry and halfway across the United States."
"Did you love the father?"
"I thought I did. But he was only 16, too, and I couldn't..."
She wiped her face.
"We've got customers."
"And they'll wait or leave. You are more important than any of them people,"
he said.
"I love you, Uncle Zed,"
she whispered.
"And I've always loved all you girls. Y'all was my family as much as you were Annie's."
She stood up as gracefully as she could and held out a hand toward Zed. He put his into hers. Lifting him was like pulling up a bag of air. She hadn't realized how thin he'd gotten until that moment.
"What?"
he asked. She nodded.
"You ever gonna tell him?"
"I don't know if I can. Telling you was the second hardest thing I've ever done."
Zed hugged her tightly.
"You're in the right place to lay down this heavy burden, child. Let me and your sisters help you with this."
"Please don't tell my sisters," she whispered.
"That's not my place, honey. You take the rest of the day off. Tawny can come help me out. You go on out the back door so you don't have to see them little girls. I'll tell Tawny that you were sick, and we don't want to spread it around,"
he said.
"You sure?"
Harper asked.
"Of course I'm sure. And from this day on, you are gonna have March 30th off."
He smiled, the pain on his wrinkled face echoing hers. He reached for the wall-hung phone and called Tawny.
"She'll be here in 3 minutes. Won't hurt them folks to wait a little longer."
"Thank you, Uncle Zed."
Harper pulled off her apron and laid it on the work table.
"For everything."
"Just wish things could have been different for you, child,"
he said.
"There she is, coming in the front. You get on out of here before she sees them swollen eyes and all that black eye stuff on your face."
Harper hung the Do Not Disturb sign on her door, dragged a full bottle of Jack Daniels from the closet, and took a long drink right from the bottle before she ran a bathtub full of hot water. Sinking down into it, she held the bottle in one hand and took another long drink before she came up for air. It burned like hell all the way to her stomach, yet like always, it did not quite take the pain or the guilt away. Knowing that Zed didn't hate her, and that he and Granny Annie would have helped her, actually made it worse. So she took another drink right from the bottle. She could have had a lovely little blonde-haired daughter, just 5 years younger than Brooke. The baby could have grown up right there on the lake, and Harper would have been there with Granny Annie all these years rather than jumping from job to job, dreading the end of March every year.
"Lord, why did I believe my mother?"
she mumbled as she turned the water off with her toes and leaned back. Exhaustion mixed with the whiskey made her eyes heavy and she fell asleep. The sun was going down by the time she awoke with a nasty taste in her mouth, a half-empty bottle of Jack floating in the cold water like a ship on the ocean, and the vision of those three little girls still on her mind. She carefully picked up the bottle and set it on the floor, pulled the plug on the tub, and shivered when the cold air hit her naked, wet body. She wrapped a towel around herself and carried the bottle of whiskey with her to the bed, where she sat down and stared blankly out the window at the wooded area. The couple who had adopted her baby named her Emma, and they'd even let Harper choose the middle name. Somewhere out there was a 9-year-old girl named Emma Joanna, and Granny never even knew about her second great-granddaughter. She threw off the towel and dressed in a faded nightshirt and a pair of cotton underwear. Turning up the bottle again, she took a couple of gulps and then threw it across the room, shattering it on the far wall. She fell back on the bed, and heartbreaking sobs racked her body as her hands went to cradle her stomach.
"I'm so sorry, Emma," she moaned, "but I was so young and so afraid I'd be a mother like mine. You deserved more than that."
She shut her eyes, and images of the older little girl who'd come into the cafe flashed in her mind. Would her daughter be blowing out birthday candles right now? Did she get a bike for her 9th birthday? Or better yet, a puppy? The couple lived out in the country, so maybe she already had a pet and a bike. Perhaps she got a pony for her birthday and a pair of new boots. Harper kept her eyes closed and imagined a little blonde-haired girl giggling as she opened her birthday presents. Then, someone knocked on her door and ruined the whole vision. She ignored it, and they knocked again, louder.
"Harper, please open the door,"
Wyatt yelled.
"Zed said you're in there."
"Damn it, Uncle Zed, you promised not to interfere."
She stumbled toward the door. "He didn't break his promise." Granny Annie's voice was in her head. "Zed keeps his word. You can count on that, so don't go blaming him." Another knock, and she slung open the door, hanging on to it to keep from falling through the screen and landing at Wyatt's boots. With blurry eyes, she looked at him and could see by his expression that he was hurting.
"My friend died, Harper," he said hoarsely. "He had another heart attack, and they couldn't revive him."
"I gave away our daughter," she blurted. "Guess we're both in pain."
The floor kept getting closer and closer, and everything was spinning out of control. She felt the heavy weight of blackness surrounding her, and then strong arms cradled her like a baby and carried her to the bed. He stretched out beside her and held her so close that she could hear his heartbeat and his quiet weeping for his friend.
"Sweet Jesus," she slurred. "Did I say that out loud?"
The last thing she smelled as she passed out was a mixture of coffee on Wyatt's breath, remnants of his shaving lotion, the same that he'd used when he was 16, and the Jack Daniels that was in a puddle on the floor with all the glass from the broken bottle. When she came back to her senses again, Wyatt was propped up on an elbow and staring into her eyes.
"What did you say at the door, Harper?"
"I'm sorry about your friend," she said.
"No, that wasn't it. You said we were both in pain and for me to come on in. But before that, you said something about our daughter. Were you dreaming or just drunk?"
"All of the above," Harper answered.
"You had a baby?"
"I did. A little girl that I gave away."
"Why?"
Wyatt asked.
"Because my mother said I couldn't come home if I didn't. And then I got to thinking about what a horrible mother I would be. I was only 16, and you were just a kid too. And it didn't seem fair to her to—"
She stopped to catch her breath and then realized she was out of words.
"It was my baby, right?"
Wyatt asked. She nodded.
"And you didn't even tell me?"
She shook her head.
"Why?"
"We were 16, for God's sake, Wyatt. Were you gonna slap on your shining armor and marry me? We weren't old enough to do that. Probably not even with parental consent. I chose her adopted parents carefully. I'm sure she's been in a good home. But today is her birthday and the guilt trip is—"
A fresh batch of tears rushed down her cheeks like a river, dripping onto his shirt this time.
"The family offered to send pictures to me, or even to let me see her, like on her birthday, or be a part of her life. But I couldn't, Wyatt. I just couldn't bear the thought of seeing her and then having to say goodbye."
I'm so sorry.
Wyatt's voice cracked. He held her so close that their tears mingled together.
I don't know what I would have done. Probably freaked out. But I had a wonderful grandpa who would have helped if he'd known.
Mother said Granny Annie would hate me, and I didn't want to disappoint her, so I didn't even tell her.
Harper bounced off the bed and barely made it to the toilet before the Jack Daniels came back up. Wyatt followed her and held her long blonde hair back, then washed her face with a wet cloth.
It's okay, darling. You've got every right to drink. Let me hold you and ease the pain.
She was your daughter, too, Wyatt. Why in the hell aren't you mad at me?
Harper bent over the toilet and dry-heaved.
I'm numb,
he said.
When that goes away, you'll be angry and hate me.
She tried to stand, but her knees were weak. He slipped an arm under her knees and one around her shoulders and carried her back to the bed.
I'm staying with you tonight. We'll mourn together.
She's not dead. She's happy and riding a pony that her parents gave her for her 9th birthday,
Harper argued.
I'm sure that they are good parents.
He wrapped her up in his arms and held her tightly.
But we don't get to buy her that pony or take her fishing or sing songs to her or read books to her before she goes to sleep. So we're going to mourn that.
You don't hate me? She asked.
You were only thinking of me and of her. So how could I be mad at you, darling?
He brushed her hair away from her eyes, his fingertips feeling like a feather on her skin.
Some first date, huh? She whispered. Your friend passed away, and I unloaded all this on you.
I'm here, and I'm with you. We'll get through this together.
Her name is Emma Joanna. They let me pick her middle name.
That's beautiful.
Wyatt held her even closer.
Shut your eyes, darling, and let this day pass. I'm not going anywhere, and everything will be better when morning arrives.
For now, she thought. But she'd take that much right then. She snuggled in so close to him that light couldn't find its way between them, and in that moment, some of the pain and guilt finally floated away. Zed poured 2 glasses of blackberry wine and carried them across the floor to the recliners. He sniffed the air as he set them on the table between the chairs.
You're fading, Annie. I don't see you in the chair as clear as I did here at first, and your perfume is getting so faint I have to imagine it. I can't have that happening.
He padded barefoot across to the bed behind the chairs, opened the drawer in the bedside table, and took out a small bottle of perfume that he'd intended to give her for her next birthday. Giving it a quick spray toward the chair, he inhaled deeply.
There you are. I feel like you're in the room again now. I gotta have your spirit with me tonight, Annie, so I can tell you about today. I know what happened that summer with Harper.
1 glass of wine later, he'd finished telling the whole story about how broken Harper was.
I just felt my heart breaking for that child, Annie, and I could almost feel your tears dripping on my shoulder. Bless her heart. What are we going to do to help her get through this?
He wrapped his veined hand around the other glass and brought it to his lips.
Oh, so you think I'm handling it okay, do you? Well, darling, I'm feeling like I need more time than I've got left to get them all straightened out.
He popped the footrest up on his recliner.
Maybe I can at least get them to open their hearts to each other. But Annie, I'm getting tired and weary of this old earth. I really want to go on home with you. So if you could just help me out with all this, I'd sure appreciate it. Don't fuss at me. I promised I'd see to it that they become a family, and I'll do my best.
He finished off the 2nd glass of wine, reached across the table, laid his hand on Annie's chair, and inhaled deeply.
Oh, Annie, life ain't worth a damn without you beside me.
Chapter 10 If it can go wrong, it will. If it can't, it might anyway. That was one of Granny Annie's sayings, and that Saturday morning started out with everything that could go wrong. Dana's alarm didn't go off, so she had to rush to the store to open up, only to find 6 customers waiting to buy bait and picnic supplies. After the rush, she was out of live bait, and the minnow man didn't arrive until 10 o'clock or sometimes even later. Thank goodness the last customer wanted to buy snacks for a picnic and gas for their boat instead of bait. When the store was empty of customers, she made 2 pots of coffee, one regular and one decaf, and ran a quick dust mop around the floor. The bell rang above the door, and she looked over the top of the potato chip shelf to see Brooke with a takeout box in her hands.
I hope that's for me.
Uncle Zed said to bring it over on my way to the laundry this morning, Brooke told her. Aunt Harper isn't in the cafe yet. You think she's still sick? Maybe I ought to help out in the kitchen today.
As if summoned, Harper pushed her way into the store. I need a bottle of aspirin and a banana. Dana tossed a bottle toward her.
Fruit is on the counter. Hungover?
She caught it midair. Little bit. How about that cleaner stuff that Flora uses? Brooke rounded the end of the display shelving.
I can get you some of that out in the laundry. Should I bring it to the cafe or your cabin?
To the cabin, Harper said. Put this stuff on my bill, please. Brooke waited until she was gone to whisper.
Wyatt's truck is parked right beside hers.
Dana raised an eyebrow.
Oh, really?
You think she threw up and that's why she needs the cleaning stuff?
Could be, but it's not a bit of our business, is it?
Dana answered. Brooke drew her eyes down until her brows were almost a solid line.
That's not fair.
Dana took the box from her hands and carried it to the counter.
I tell you all the time that life is not fair. But what's the issue with it today?
She flipped the lid back to find sausage gravy covering 3 biscuits.
All 3. No, all 4 of y'all can get up in my business and know everything that happens. But I can't know why she needs some of Flora's cleaner. It's not fair.
Brooke crossed her arms over her chest.
Like I said, life's not...
One of Brooke's hands shot up.
I know. Not fair.
So we'll leave it there and get on with the day, right?
Dana scooped up a bite of the food.
It's Easter weekend. Think we should go to church tomorrow evening?
CEO Christians,
Brooke laughed.
That's right, darling. Christmas and Easter only makes us CEOs.
Would Granny Annie go if she was here?
Nope. Something happened when my grandpa died and she never went back.
Brooke picked up a candy bar.
Then I don't want to go either. Put this on my bill.
I'll pay for it today.
Dana reached in her purse and rang up the cost for 2 candy bars.
Take another one with you for Flora, and I'll see you at lunch.
Oh, yeah. And I'll be 4 hours older, so maybe I'll be old enough to talk about why Aunt Harper needs cleaner.
Brooke waved and held the door for the bait man as she left.
Teenagers.
A tall guy with sparkling blue eyes and blonde hair pulled back into a short ponytail said with a smile,
I got a daughter that graduated a few years ago. It was amazing how much I learned while she was off to college. But some days, even though I'm 46 years old, I still revert back to being the dumbest man on earth.
Then there's hope that the time will come when I've got brains part of the time.
Dana smiled up at him and did the math. He was 10 years older than her, and probably married with 2 or 3 other kids.
Where's the regular bait man?
Retired. I'm out doing the deliveries until I can hire someone else.
He stuck out his hand.
I'm Peyton O'Reilly.
Dan Clancy.
Sparks flew when she shook hands with him.
I'm completely out of minnows and low on stink bait and cut bait, too.
I'll fix you right up.
He dropped her hand and whistled as he headed outside. She glanced down at her hand for a moment, surprised to see that it wasn't fire engine red. She hadn't felt chemistry like that with a guy in a very long time. He was almost out of the store when she leaned over the counter to watch him swagger out. And that's when she dragged her hair through the gravy. She jumped back too fast and knocked the whole container off, splattering gravy all over the floor, the wall, and somehow even into the cash register. Grabbing a roll of paper towels, she quickly did the best she could with her hair and then started wiping up the mess. When he returned, she was on her knees trying to get enough of it off the floor so she could get to the counter to sign the receipt for the bait. Peyton leaned over the counter.
Need some help?
Thanks, but I'll have it done by the time you unload, she blushed.
This is my last stop, and I've only got half your usual order of minnows. I've got to take another run down this way tomorrow morning. All right if I bring more then.
That will be great.
She blushed again as she swiped up the last of what was on the floor and got to her feet. He took the roll of paper towels off the floor, ripped one off, and brushed it across her cheek, then ran it down a strand of her hair.
Some of it got on you. Shame that Zed's gravy got wasted. He makes the best biscuits and gravy I've ever eaten. Want me to go around to the cafe and get you another order?
No, thank you. I'll just grab a package of chocolate donuts and a cup of coffee, she stammered. What was wrong with her? She was acting like a sophomore in high school, not a mother in her mid-30s. With a brief nod, he rolled his cart back to the tank and then over to the refrigerator, where the other forms of bait were kept.
I think that's the best I can do for today, but I'll be back tomorrow.
It's Easter Sunday, Dana reminded him.
My daughter and I go to early mass, so there's no problem. See you same time tomorrow.
He flashed a brilliant smile and waved. God, you have one wicked sense of humor to send Marcus around that I have no chemistry with, and then let this man walk into my life and he's got a daughter and likely a wife, she muttered as she rushed off to the bathroom. The little mirror above the sink was cracked in two places, but it showed what a mess she was. Specks of gravy dotted her hair, and sweet lord, there was even a smudge of it, complete with sausage behind her ear. What's God got to do with you being clumsy? If you hadn't leaned over the counter to look at the way Peyton filled out his jeans, you wouldn't have slung gravy halfway to the Oklahoma border. Granny Annie was back in her head, so clearly that she almost expected to see her reflection in the mirror right along beside hers. That's not what I was talking about. Marcus is probably going to ask me out, and I feel nothing around him. Yet Peyton is probably married, and his touch makes me think unholy thoughts, she said out loud. Like you told Brooke, life ain't fair. Tawny had just finished canceling a week-long reservation for cabin number 6, when a guy tapped on the door of her cabin and then eased the door open. His blue eyes met hers, and he blushed slightly.
Can I help you?
I stopped at the cafe and Zed said to come to this cabin. It would help if you'd put an office sign on the door. I didn't know whether to knock or just walk in, he said.
Good idea. I'll make a temporary one until I can get a permanent one ordered.
I'm here to see if you have a vacancy. I'd like to check in now and stay until Tuesday morning, he said.
Tawny picked up the number 6 key and dangled it.
You are one lucky guy. I was booked solid until 2 minutes ago. Number 6, right next door to this one, is empty. So if you want it, it's yours. But if you check in now, I'm going to have to charge you for today. Regular check-in isn't until 3. Want to go fishing or do some hiking until then?
I'm not a fisherman or an outdoors person. I just want 3 days of peace and quiet to do some reading and relaxing.
He handed her his credit card and driver's license.
I'm Marcus Green. You are the youngest sister, right?
That's right. Do I know you?
Those blue eyes were boring right into hers, and her pulse kicked in an extra beat.
I went to school with Dana in Frankston, he said. I heard about y'all a lot through Zed and Annie when I came to the cafe. I was so sorry to hear of her passing.
Tawny ran his credit card through the machine and handed both it and his license back to him, along with the cabin key. A copy of the transaction ran through the printer, and she laid it on the desk.
Please sign right there. Checkout is at 11.
I'll be gone before 8. I'm a teacher at Frankston.
His hand brushed against hers when he took the pen from her.
Reckon Zed is still serving breakfast?
Tawny glanced at the clock.
For another 15 minutes. If you live in Frankston, why are you renting a cabin? You could come to the lake any time and go home to your own bed at night.
Sometimes it's good just to get away from everyday life and have some quiet time to myself.
He smiled, and her heart did a couple of flips.
I don't fish, but I love the lake and the idea of unplugging for the weekend. Be seeing you around, Tawny.
She pushed back her chair and watched him get into a vintage Ford Mustang, bright red, and pull it around to park in front of the cabin right next to hers. He wasn't tall, but he was muscular, and her fingers itched to see if his curly hair was as soft as it looked.
Marcus Green, she said out loud. Where have I heard that name?
Hey, Aunt Tawny!
Brooke startled her when she slung the door open.
I brought you a set of clean sheets. I'll pick up the dirty ones when Floor and I get done with number 1. Was that Mr. Green going into the unit next door?
That's where I heard the name. Is he one of your teachers?
Tawny asked.
Yep, history. He also teaches some math. What's he doing here?
Unplugging for the long weekend. Thanks for the sheets.
She loved her niece, and she didn't want to push her out, but the longer Brooke stayed, the more questions she'd ask. And then she'd tell Dana, and that's when the problems could and would start, because Dana would want to boss her about Marcus being so much older.
Brooke rounded the bookcase and laid the sheets on the bed.
Did you know that Wyatt probably spent the night at Aunt Harper's and that she has a hangover this morning?
Whoa. Wait a minute. Maybe I don't want Brooke to leave just yet. So Wyatt stayed at Harper's. Did that mean she was really sick yesterday, or had she wanted time to get all pretty for a night of wild sex?
Maybe he came to see about her. She was supposed to be sick. I filled in for her at the cafe. She makes some damn good tips over there. I'm beginning to think she might have gotten the best job of the bunch of us.
Maybe since Brooke was thinking about Wyatt spending the night at Harper's, she could sneak in a couple of innocent questions.
Is Mr. Green married? Got kids?
No to both. He's got a cat, though. There's a picture of it on his desk. A big old yellow one. Did he bring it with him? Are we a pet-friendly place?
No, we aren't. And he didn't mention a cat or take a carrier into the cabin, so I guess he left it at home.
Well, I gotta get back to work. Flora's knees are bothering her today, so I've been vacuuming in the cabins.
You're a good kid, Tawny said.
Tell that to my mama.
Brooke's smile reminded her of Granny Annie's.
She already knows it.
Brooke eased out the door, then broke into a jog toward the laundry room. As badly as Tawny hated to admit it, Dana was a great mother. Someday, when Tawny had kids, she hoped that she was even half the parent that Dana was. But she sure wasn't going to admit to liking her older sister to anyone.
It sure won't be someone like Matthew.
She grimaced at even the thought of his name. Her old boyfriend came from a wealthy family in Austin and had been a senior at the university when they met. The rest was a downhill slide that led to her being kicked out of college and his dad's fancy-schmancy lawyer getting Matthew off with only a fine and a slap on the wrist.
And my dear mother decided to tell me to get a public defender. She reminded me of that little bit of trouble I got into in high school, and then she turned off service to my phone and froze my credit cards. She groaned.
She remade her twin-size bed and carried the dirty sheets outside, planning to take them to the laundry. Maybe a breath of fresh, brisk air would wash away the memories of that day in court.
Hey, got time to have a cup of coffee with me while I eat breakfast?
Marcus asked as he stepped off his porch.
Sure, just give me time to unload this at the laundry. Be there in 5.
It wouldn't do any harm just to sit with him while she took a short break. He fell in beside her.
I'll walk with you. This is a gorgeous morning. Easter weekend is always unpredictable. My mother calls it the Easter snap. She never plants her annual flowers until the weekend is over.
That's what Granny Annie used to say. We didn't get up here very often for Easter. We always came for a month in the summer. I'll only be a minute, she said at the door.
Leaving him outside, mainly so that she didn't have to explain anything to Flora or Brooke, she found the laundry room empty. She quickly tossed the sheets into a bin and hurried back outside.
All done.
I knew you came in the summertime.
He picked up the conversation as if she'd never left his side.
My mother and Annie were great friends, and I remember seeing you when y'all came here.
He opened the door to the cafe and stood back for her to enter first. Most of the time, the place was full and the buzz of conversations reverberated off the walls. But that Saturday morning, only Harper and Zed were in the cafe. They were sitting at a table, and she looked like she had been crying. The first thing that went through Tawny's mind was that their mother had died, and somehow Harper had found out about it first.
Well, hello, Marcus. You out enjoying the pretty weather?
Zed got to his feet.
I still got some breakfast stuff on the stove. Want the big platter? You bet I do.
He pulled out a chair for Tawny.
And this lady would like a cup of coffee.
Coming right up. Harper seemed eager to do something, even if it was waiting on her younger sister.
2 coffees?
Yes, ma'am,
Marcus said.
You must be Harper. How did you get so tall when your sisters are just petite little ladies?
Some of us get to be delicate little pansies, and some of us have to be big sunflowers, she answered.
And they're all beautiful, Marcus smiled.
Flattery will get you free refills on that coffee.
Harper raised an eyebrow toward Tawny. As soon as she set Marcus's plate in front of him, Harper made a beeline out the back door of the cafe, around the building and into the store. Dana had just finished scooping up a net full of minnows and putting them into a plastic bag for a fisherman.
Is Brooke all right?
Dana looked worried.
Far as I know. She brought me clean sheets this morning and got all nosy about Wyatt. Teenagers haven't changed since we were that age.
They're all about drama. Don't make me love her one bit less, but it's the truth.
Harper meandered around the store until the customer paid and left. She picked up half a dozen candy bars and a bag of barbecue chips, figuring she might as well stock up on snacks while she was there.
Got the munchies, do you?